AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington, and we start with developments at the Vatican involving not one but two popes. The current one, Pope Francis, asking for prayers for his predecessor, Pope Benedict, who became the first Roman Catholic Church leader in centuries to resign his position almost a decade ago. Correspondent Chris Livesay.
Up until now, we've been used to popes dying and then having to elect a successor. We've already done that back in 2013. So now there are new questions swirling around the current pope, Pope Francis, who for years now has been suggesting that he might pull the same move, might resign if his own health worsens.
Back here, the weather and fallout from it continue to cause problems from one coast to the other. Buffalo, New York remaining seriously snowbound. At least 28 deaths attributed to recent storms there. And a major storm is hitting the West Coast.
High surf battered the coast of Oregon as the intense storm blew ashore, dumping a deluge of rain across the Pacific Northwest, leaving nearly 200,000 in the dark at its peak.
Power's out now all over the place here.
The worst of it hit during unusually high king tides, flooding streets in Seattle.
Correspondent Carter Evans. Related to all of this, but also to internal problems, the huge mess in air travel with one airline in particular, Southwest, whose scheduling problems are being described as a meltdown. Crews, passengers, luggage in all sorts of places where they're not supposed to be, except when they do show up, like Chicago Midway.
I just haven't had this bag in a week. I've been wearing other people's clothes. I want to wear my wardrobe. It's New Year's Eve week, and now I'm going to go out and I'm going to party like it's 2023.
A group of FTX trading customers suing the bankrupt cryptocurrency exchange, alleging top executives stole their digital assets, purposely blocked them from making withdrawals. CBS News correspondent Matt Piper.
Those suing Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX say in court documents that they stored cash and digital assets on FTX's platform, but have not been able to complete a withdrawal since early November. Attorney Andrew Entwistle is representing those suing the company, who are from the U.S. and overseas.
We're hopeful, and the first step in doing that is to get a declaration that the funds are the customers and not property of the estate.
Visiting New York's Times Square, just the time to celebrate Good Riddance 2022.
My name is Jacob. I'm from New Jersey. As a healthcare worker, let's get past this pandemic.
Depression from unemployment due to New York City tourism affected by the pandemic.
Overseas, Ukraine reporting another massive Russian missile attack, including on its capital of Kyiv, and at least 11 people have died in a fire at a Cambodian hotel casino that near its border with Thailand. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3960.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With the I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check it. Talk to doctor now and share it.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it twice a day.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it in the morning and before dinner.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it, and share it with my doctor. Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor.
Now that I know my blood pressure numbers, I talked with my doctor. We're getting those numbers down.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check it. Talk to doctor now and share it.
Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Learn more at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association. In partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Olivia, from Washington.
laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel, from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna, from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha, from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, happy Tuesday, and our buddy Nate is back in the studio after a few days out with the flu. It's going around, and wild weather coming across the country this week, too, so it's going to be a difficult one. We've got a lot to talk about today. There's a lot in the news, and I think a lot worthy of covering, and of course, anything you want to talk about on Anything Goes Holidays here. But I want to get into the dirty game that Republicans are playing with desperate people's lives. We'll get to that in just a moment. Also, how the news dies. A great charity that I've donated to, and you should too, helping the children of Ukraine. Dr. Erwin Redlener is going to be on our program about the work that they're doing. We will be, if we haven't already, Louise is going to do this. Make sure that we both tweet and Facebook his charity, if you want to track that down, by the way. But we'll be talking to him at the top of the second hour, 1 hour from right now. Also, news you need to know about, the omnibus spending bill, the Russia-China joint drills, the January 6th probe, oh my. And our third hour of our program today, for the entire hour, the former co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, used to be Congressman Mark Pocan and Pramila Jayapal, Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, now it's just Rep. Jayapal. And Congressman Pocan is still, in the leadership of the Congressional Progressive Caucus and will be with us for the entire third hour of our program today. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm guessing you are, too. So, and as always, calls into members of Congress don't count against your one call a week quota. So a lot to talk about today. I want to start off, though, with my rant from HartmanReport.com. It's titled, The Dirty Game Republicans Are Playing with Desperate People's Lives. And, yesterday I spent several hours with the Neva machine. It's the latest. I love this internet search machine. I started with Google, and then I went to DuckDuckGo because, they don't sell your information like Google does. And but then DuckDuckGo started throwing all kinds of right-wing stuff at me because the right-wingers were complaining that their stuff wasn't rising to the top of the DuckDuckGo searches. So then I found this website called Neva, NEEVA.com, that where you can customize your search. When all these right-wing sites come up, I can just say, I don't want to see these anymore. And so I can get cleaner searches, from real news sources rather than everything coming up as Breitbart. As is what so often happens, with some of the other search engines. So anyway, I spent a couple of hours with Neva yesterday looking for Democratic and Republican members of Congress who use the phrase open borders and looking at what years were there real actual surges of people at our southern border. And what I discovered was pretty astonishing. Every year that a Democratic president is in the White House, the midterm election, so Obama was in the White House for 8 years, right? So you've got, he was elected in 2008. So in the 2010 election, that's the midterm. Suddenly, in the months leading up to the 2010 election, there's a surge at the border. Then it goes down through to 2011. And then in 2012, when he's up for re-election, there's another surge of immigrants at the border and refugees at the border. And then it goes down in 2013, down in 2014, Obama's his second midterm, another surge at the border. And then 2016, Trump is running for president. You know, there was a caravan that Fox News made a big deal out of, but that was it. Actually, the numbers at the border were really, really low that year, 2016. And they were relatively low throughout Trump's presidency. And then Biden comes in and suddenly his first midterm, he's been president for 2 years now, first midterm, another surge at the border. It's happening right now. It's all over the news. I took this all the way back to 1998. I could find this every time a Democratic president is in office during the midterm elections or when that Democratic president is up for re-election. There's a huge surge of refugees at the border. And there's a huge explosion of coverage of it in the news. And they're always blaming the Republican in the White House, or the Democrat in the White House. The Republicans are always blaming that person. So then the question was, why? Why does this happen? Why is it that every 2 years, only when there's a Democrat in the White House, there's a huge surge of refugees and immigrants on our southern border? And what I found was, surprise, surprise, every 2 years, Republicans all across the country start using this phrase, open borders, criticizing Democrats, the Democratic president, for having an open border. Now, March of last year, the Washington Examiner, this free right-wing newspaper in Washington, D.C., went on a search for Democrats who were proclaiming that the border was open. They found nothing. Not one. They couldn't find one single Democrat referring to the border as, quote, open. Not one. They did find that Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema both called the situation on our southern border a crisis, as well as a Democratic congresswoman from Michigan and a single Democratic mayor in Texas, who both referred to it as a crisis. But they couldn't find a single Democrat who said that our border was open. But just in the last 4 months, right, leading up to this last election that we had last month, this was just the stuff that was laying around on the ground. If you just plug into your search engine, senator, congressman, congresswoman, and in quotes, open border, here's what I found. Ted Cruz wants everybody south of our border to know that, quote, Biden open border policy is a craven decision, political decision. Rick Scott wants everybody to know that, quote, Americans don't want Biden's open borders. Marco Rubio says there's, quote, nothing compassionate about Biden's open border policies. Rand Paul is so crazy, he tells us Marco Rubio is the one for an open border. Josh Hawley says Biden's open border policies create a moral crisis. Tom Cotton insists the border is wide open. Ron Johnson wants the world to know that, quote, our national security is at risk because Democrats have opened the border. Marjorie Taylor Greene, quote, blasts open border hypocrites. Mo Brooks, quote, opposes socialist Democrats' open border policies for helping kill Americans. Lauren Boebert says the, quote, root cause of our open border crisis is the White House. Matt Gaetz, quote, revealed a complex and deceitful agenda by Joe Biden's Democrat administration to evade our southern border law enforcement. Gymnasium Jordan says Biden's deliberate support of illegal immigration could lead to impeachment. Kevin McCarthy says the Biden administration, quote, has utterly failed to secure our open border. Elise Stefanik proclaims, quote, Biden's open border policies have been a complete disaster. Tom Cole's website features, quote, Biden's open border America. John Rose calls out, quote, Biden's open border policies. Paul Gosar claims Biden is, quote, destroying America with his open border policies. Roger Williams complains about Democrats' open border problem. Tom Cole wants the world to know that Biden's, quote, open border policies have given the green light to migrants and bad actors from around the world. And Gus Bilirakis, quote, denounces dangerous open border policies on the House floor. The list goes on. Democrats, on the other hand, only want people. Now, what's going on here? Republicans are saying the border is open. And they're saying it publicly. They're saying in front of every microphone they can get. They're broadcasting it around the world. And guess what? An awful lot of those Republican messages are making their way to social media, to Facebook and Twitter. And they're showing up on the phones of people living in Venezuela, in Nicaragua, in Costa Rica, in Honduras, and in Mexico. And those people are going, oh, look at this. A member of the United States Senate, a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, says the border is open. Hey, let's go. Finally, our news media is starting to wake the hell up to this Republican strategy to damage Democratic presidents. Martha Raddatz of ABC News had Greg Abbott, another guy who's claiming that Biden's opened the border, the governor of Texas, had Greg Abbott on her program, and she nailed him. Here it is.
You talk about the border wall. You talk about open borders. I don't think I've ever heard President Biden say, we have an open border, come on over. But people I have heard say it are you, our former President Trump, or Ron DeSantis. That message reverberates in Mexico and beyond. So they do get the message that it is an open border, and smugglers use all those kinds of statements.
And smugglers use those statements too, right? To encourage people to leave their homes. I mean, this is like awful that Republicans are encouraging people to literally make, you know, 1,000-mile on foot treks where substantial numbers of these people get murdered, their family members get murdered, their children get stolen, their wives and daughters get raped, that were they themselves, if they're female. I think I would love to see a reporter simply ask one of these degenerate political SOB Republicans, quote, what would it take for you to leave your home with all your possessions in one small bag and travel 1,000 miles on foot, risking rape, robbery, kidnapping, torture, and the murder of yourself and your family members? What would it take? Because I don't think Republicans I don't think they even think about these people whose lives they are putting in danger. These people who are dying, who are, you know, literally being robbed, raped, murdered, tortured in some cases for fun by like gangs and stuff as they pass through Mexico. Because Republicans said, hey, the door is open. And then when they get to the border, they discover, hey, the door is not open. I think this is outrageous, and I am hopeful that by publishing this piece today at HartmanReport.com, and I hope you will share it with as many people as you can, I am hopeful that I can get the American media, just like I've been working for years to try to get them to call out the two Santa Clauses scam, to call out this scam, this new Republican, not new, I mean it goes back to 1998, this Republican scam using desperate people as political props.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I mean, this whole game is beyond despicable. We'll be right back, 17 minutes past the hour. And welcome back. Zoe in Encino, California. Hey, Zoe, thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV. What's on your mind?
Absolutely. You're saying it fine. I want to thank you for what you're doing about the borders, because I had a feeling and I had knowledge that when they opened up the borders so that the children could be separated from their parents, that there was something they were doing to coax the people there. And I actually went and I tried to call. I happened to be licensed as a therapist, and I called to report child abuse in 3 states. I called San Diego because it's a border town, and I called up Arizona, and I also called Texas just to see what we could do for the children. I wanted to get coloring books. I wanted to get stuffed animals. I wanted to get them something so they didn't blame themselves, because children do that. They think they were bad children somehow, and that's why mommy and daddy left. Children blame themselves. And as a result, they're scarred for life.
You know, there's...
I really was angry that nothing could be done. I was turned away, and I even called the Red Cross, and they told me, you know what? We were just in a meeting, and we cannot interfere with those children.
Oh, my. Now, the Trump administration separated thousands of children from their parents. The Biden administration tried to put them back together. They were able to find about 800 of them. But there's still hundreds of children, maybe thousands of children, that have been trafficked into mostly so-called Christian adoption services in the United States by Stephen Miller and his Republican buddies, as far as I can tell. I mean, it certainly looks like that's the case. I can't point to a specific charge, but, these kids have just vanished. They've vanished.
And
you get these QAnon people.
And they're blaming themselves. That's the critical thing. Yeah. They are ruined because they feel that they're bad. Yeah. And that's the worst thing you could do to a child.
Yeah.
I want to also ask you to get some kind of a doctor or professional on your show to explain what science is, and that it requires validity and reliability and longitudinal studies. So there is no quick fix. We've got to stop this business where science isn't reliable because they can't fix the problem immediately. We have to educate the public that they know what science really is, and it takes patience, and it takes time, and variables, different variables have to be tested so that we can make better vaccines, better treatments. We need that, and people don't understand what science is. So please get someone on your show that can explain it simply. I am so grateful to my professors that I had in graduate school when we had to take special classes to learn how to read studies and to learn how what
you're talking essentially about
are.
Critical thinking skills, and this is something
that children can learn that.
Yes,
they can learn it.
I agree with you,
their
Zoe.
Brains
Thank you.
Are.
And across Scandinavia, you have nations that are teaching critical thinking skills now in their schools. Zoe, thank you for the call. We'll be right back. It's 21 minutes past the hour. We've been chatting about the impressive health benefits of CBD, right? Well, hold on, because if you're into healthier, younger looking skin, I'm going to rock your world. Bota skincare products are a scientific leap forward in healthier skin and a far more youthful complexion. Bota skincare and age-defying products are plant-powered, not chemical-based. Plant-powered skincare is clean and natural, and here's the remarkable part that's got everyone buzzing. Bota is infused with full-spectrum CBD. You know about the potential health benefits of CBD, right? Now imagine adding the power of CBD to skincare and anti-aging products. Bota helps your skin stay healthy and look fresher and younger way longer. I got you a great deal to try Bota for yourself. Visit BotaSkin.com and enter Tom, T-H-O-M, for 20% off. That's 20% off when you enter Tom at BotaSkin.com. BotaSkin.com. Hey friends, Tom Hartman here to tell you about my brand new book. It's called The Tom Hartman Reader. Tom Hartman Reader is unlike any of my other books. It's a collection of my best and most revealing writings that I think you need to know. Tom Hartman Reader covers everything from my fierce commitment to Jeffersonian democracy to my steadfast opposition to the corporatization of America. Also, it more clearly identifies the root causes of so many of our social and environmental ills. The Tom Hartman Reader will give you essential information and explore solutions to questions like, how do we keep our schools from treating children like assembly line products? Why is it that attention deficit disorder is not an affliction? Or what cloudy Germany can teach us about solar energy? And much, much more. Not only will you gain vital substance on a wide range of topics in the book, but the Tom Hartman Reader will inspire you to action. It's time to educate ourselves on the world around us, why it got this way, and the corrective actions we all need to take. The Tom Hartman Reader, available in fine bookstores everywhere and on our website at tomhartman.com. Makes a great gift, too. Inspiration, insight, and action. The Tom Hartman Reader.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats make a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. Goats provide food, milk, and give Sudanese families the safety net to pursue education or set up a small business. They really are the gifts that keep on giving. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
If something's wrong with your computer, you reboot it. You restore it back to where it needs to be. Today, our country is headed down the wrong track, overwhelmed with joblessness, declining wages, and corporations deciding our elections, for starters. This is not the Founding Fathers' vision. It's time we rebooted something bigger than our computers. It's time we rebooted the American dream. We must restore the thriving, prosperous days we once had. And my new book, Rebooting the American Dream, explains exactly what we need to do. Bringing our jobs and manufacturing home, rolling back the Reagan tax cuts, ending corporate personhood, and educating our electorate are part of the simple 11-step plan in rebooting the American dream that we can start today to rebuild our country. Check out Rebooting the American Dream in bookstores everywhere and online at TomHartmann.com. We can recover the American dream we lost 30 years ago to Reaganomics and the Reagan-Bush-Clinton-Bush era. We're all in this together. Please check out Rebooting the American Dream by yours truly, Tom Hartmann, in bookstores everywhere and online at TomHartmann.com.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmannReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmannReport.com. So, how do you know which party has the most crooks in it? You know, the Republicans are always saying, oh, those Democrats are soft on crime and, you know, a lot of murders in Democrat-run cities. Well, for the record, first off, red states and red counties have a higher per capita murder rates than do blue states and blue counties. This is just a fact. But secondly, let's look at some of the administrations. I mean, the Obama administration had no criminal indictments. The Jimmy Carter administration had one. The Bill Clinton administration had two. But what about the Republican administrations? It was 16 for George W. Bush. It was 26 criminal indictments for Ronald Reagan. Richard Nixon's administration had 76 criminal indictments. And, of course, the full-time professional rapist and grifter, Donald Trump, he had 215 criminal indictments. So who's really soft on crime? We got a video about it over at TomHartmann.com. You can check it out. Okay, other things in the news right now. This is a fascinating story here about how the news dies. This down in Alabama. Alabama Power and Florida Power and Light. Two big power companies in Alabama and Florida hired a political consulting firm. And this political consulting firm then essentially bribed six newspapers in Alabama and Florida to give fluff coverage to these utilities. David Folkenflik from NPR and Mario Azia and Miranda Green of Floodlight found that the power companies had hired this company called Matrix LLC. And that paid these six sites, according to this report, Yellowhammer News, Alabama Political Reporter, Alabama Today, The Capitalist, Florida Politics, and Sunshine State News, almost $1 million between 2013 and 2020. According to the report, quote, Matrix sought to encourage much coverage was secretly driven to ensure much coverage was secretly driven by the priorities of its clients. Payments flowed as the utilities in Florida and Alabama fought efforts to incorporate more clean energy into their electric grids, a fight they are still waging. Alabama Power has the largest coal-fired power plant in America. It produces the most carbon dioxide emissions of any single source in the United States. Alabama Power, this one power plant. And yet they received, quote, overwhelmingly positive coverage, end quote, in the three Alabama sites linked to Matrix during the seven-year period. Terry Dunn, who was a Republican, who was elected to the Alabama Public Service Commission, said he was going to protect consumers. He was going to be a good Republican. He was going to be a conservative. He was, you know, back like Eisenhower, right? So the fossil fuel industry lobbyist approached him and said, you can keep your $100,000 a year job if you, quote, remain a team player. And he said,
The Shah 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief at the Vatican.
Papa Emerito Benedetto.
One Pope asking for prayers for another.
Sta sostenendo la Chiesa.
Pope Francis praying for his 95-year-old resigned predecessor, Pope Emeritus Benedict. Also overseas.
Air raid sirens have sounded across Ukraine and people are being advised to stay in shelters. Explosions have been heard in the capital and elsewhere.
That is Chris Barrow of the BBC. Back here, a huge rainstorm now battering the West Coast, especially up north, Oregon and Washington. Southwest Airlines is sorry, really sorry, about the schedule meltdown, stranding crowds and luggage at airports all over.
A letter from the airline CEO to employees coming with a huge admission. This issue is operational, bad, outdated technology. It's not weather-related.
Regardless of the cause, as WCCO-TV's Jonah Kaplan says, Southwest could need until this coming weekend to get back to anything close to normal operations. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around, and I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never would just want to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Mom was always very organized.
But my sister and I noticed she started to forget things.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
My sister and I were there for Mom and each other.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman Program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com. Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour, picking up your phone calls. And Tim in Cary, Illinois. Hey, Tim, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, I was just wondering to kind of get your thoughts. You know, it seems to me like the Democrats are leaving like a huge opportunity on the table. But, you know, the immigration debate in this country has always kind of been one of like a moral basis, right? But internationally, I'm not sure if you're familiar with like Peter Zaha, but globally, we're facing this demographic collapse internationally. And I mean, there's like a utilitarian answer to immigration. You know, Democrats should be pitching better immigration policy.
They are.
You know, not for the morality, but because we need the labor. We need right. people to be moving to this country.
Yeah, no, the demographic.
The looming.
For people who don't know what you're talking about, the demographic collapse you're talking about is as baby boomers age, there's more and more demand for services for those aging people, and there's not that many younger people coming up. Actually, there has been kind of a boom among the Zoomer generation, but I get your point. Japan is many countries actually that have over the last 30, 40 years had close to zero or below zero population growth are seeing the same thing. There's a strong argument to be made for rational immigration policy. And let me get the exact date on this. But recently the Democrats proposed legislation to do just that, to actually update our immigration policy and to fund our border. This was actually a border funding bill, and it got this one passed the House. It never got through the Senate. 227 Democratic votes, 5 Republican votes.
Of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's a totally cynical thing. Just a minute ago, I just went in and Googled, or actually DuckDuckGo is what I'm using here at the studio. Quote, Joe Biden says the border is open, right? And what I got is a New York Post article saying that the border was open, but not quoting Biden. And then another New York Post article, it's amazing how much, you know, Murdoch stuff comes up when you use DuckDuckGo. Another Murdoch thing saying, this is from the New York Post, where the White House is saying that, no, the border is not open. It has not been opened. Title II going away does not mean that we're opening the border. Actually, you know, just as a point of information, right now, some of the numbers of people getting stopped at the border are inflated because before Title 42 was put in place, Title 42 basically says you can't come into this country because there's a pandemic right now. We have a public health emergency. Therefore, we're preventing people who might be contagious from coming into the country. It's kind of a scam, but you know, whatever. And it's not like there's an open door at the border. What it did was it stopped the normal processing of refugees and people who are making applications for asylum and for immigration at the southern border. But what it also stopped was it being a crime to get repeatedly arrested at the border or stopped at the border. And so what's happening is people are showing up at the border. They're being immediately determined by Customs and Border Patrol not to be legitimate refugees and not to be immigrants who have followed the proper procedures. They get immediately deported back to Mexico. And then they just show up in line again and come back into the country 4 days later because there's no penalty for that.
Double counting.
Right. When Title 42 goes away, people who do that will be charged actually with a crime. Which means that, now, you know, it's not a huge felony, but it's a crime that could be up to a year in jail, I believe. And what that means is that
we'll put them in prison.
Exactly. But what it means is that they now know that if they try to cross the border a second time, they're going to get busted. And so, you know, you won't have this huge kind of recycling process that's going on. But, you know, again, Republicans want to keep Title 42 in place, presumably because it is inflating the numbers at the border currently because it's taken away those criminal penalties, which is just so weird. I mean, you know, but anyhow, Tim, thanks for the call and thanks for your point. Royce in Kansas City, Missouri. Hey, Royce, it says here you disagree with me. What's up?
Yeah. Are you Tom?
I am.
Tom, why don't you put in your search engine a video of Joe Biden inviting the entire world to our southern border?
I just did. There is no such thing. Now, there might be something like that floating around in the right wingosphere that's been doctored by somebody. It wouldn't surprise me at all if it's all over.
No, no, it was during his campaign.
Yeah. No.
I saw it.
Yeah, right.
While he was campaigning. Right.
We do not have an open border. It is not the policy of Joe Biden or the Democratic Party to have an open, or any party to have an open border. And the phrase open border is not generally used by Democrats. It is constantly used by Republicans, though, Royce. Royce, you know, find me the video, tweet it to me. I'll correct myself on the air, but, you know, I'm not buying it. Mary in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hey, Mary, what's up?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say that about open borders. I have a husband that's a Trump supporter, and all of a sudden, when Joe Biden became president, all of a sudden the border is a big problem.
Right.
But never said a word about it during the entire Trump administration. And so it just, you know, it just proves what you're just saying. And another thing I wanted to say was that. Whenever I say anything to a Republican about how many children they separated from their parents during the Trump administration, well, Obama built those cages. What's your comment to that? Because mine is always, yeah, but they would keep, like, maybe separate maybe one or two. We're talking about hundreds every month.
Yeah. What the Obama administration did, they actually had a crisis in during the midterm election, again, provoked by Republican politicians yelling that the border was open 3 months before the election to stimulate a surge of refugees. And what happened was there were all these unaccompanied children who were showing up at our border. This was in 2014. And in fact, I reference it in my article, and there's a hot link to a story about it. And so what the Obama administration did was they built a facility to house those kids on a temporary basis. These were unaccompanied minors. These were children who were showing up without their parents, mostly teenagers. And that's what that facility was built for. It was not built to tear children from their mothers. I mean, you know, Trump literally was taking, you know, newborn babies, one-year-old kids from nursing mothers, taking them away, and then, you know, trafficking them into this Christian child adoption network here in the United States. I mean, it's apples and oranges. And so, you know, when Republicans say, oh, yeah, well, that was Obama. But again, what was it Mark Twain said? You know, a lie gets around the world before the truth has a chance to get its boots on. That's exactly what it is. Mary, thank you for the call, and happy holidays, and I wish you the best in negotiating with your husband. Good luck. Thank you, Mary.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Rebecca in Temecula, California. Hey, Rebecca. Thanks for listening to KPFK. What's up?
Hi, thank you. I'm a big new fan. I have something to talk about, which I'm going to implore everybody to put on an open mind, because everything I'm saying is evidence-based science, and I'm going to give you a reference for people to look at. The Americans for Responsible Technology, about 5G. It's called 5G, an Undeniable Risk. And I just want to say, in 1996, Clinton and Gore did an inconvenient truth to us. The Telecom Act took out any responsibility for the government to look at health impact of wireless.
That was 96.
It completely,
I died.
1996, the Telecom Communication Act in 96.
Yeah.
They took out any accountability. So for 25 years, the FCC and the FDA have not been monitoring any health impact.
I don't believe that's true.
I'm sorry?
I do not believe that's true.
Okay, please research it.
I'm real familiar with non-ionizing radiation. I've been a ham radio operator since I was 13 years old. I've been around massive RF fields. I worked for 10 years in radio stations when I was a teenager and in my 20s. I was an engineer. I was licensed as an engineer, as a broadcast engineer. I studied the brief time that I was in college was studying electrical engineering. Radiation decays according to the reciprocal of the square. For every doubling of distance, you have a square of reduction in radiation intensity. I would not want to stand next to any kind of, you know, tower. Frankly, radiation can be
can
a bad
I
thing.
You,
but
can I, please,
there's a lot of hysteria out there, Rebecca. Yes,
I know that. Finish. In 2021, the attorney Daphne Takabo and his Children's Health Defense won a lawsuit against the FCC and the FDA for not studying the health impacts of wireless for 25 years.
I believe Children's Health Defense is the crackpot anti-vax group, isn't it?
I know. I don't stand with
okay.
Them
so I'm not. You know, I'm going to stop this right now, Rebecca, because I just, you know, I really am uncomfortable with this kind of disinformation being on my airwaves. Larry in Los Angeles. Hey, Larry, what's on your mind today?
Hi. I just experienced something really weird.
What's that?
You were reading from about the what the Republicans were doing when they were storming the Capitol. I forget the author.
Oh, during the break.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And as you were reading that, I'm looking at Real America's Voice, which is basically it's a right-wing TV program. The name is alive now, by the way, because they used to take the American people's voice. They don't do it anymore after I called them a couple of times and I cleaned their house.
Okay.
And now they don't take the voices anymore.
Yeah.
But what they had coming across the screen was that group that just indicted, or at least recommended Donald Trump for an indictment.
The January 6th committee.
The January 6th committee. As you were reading from that book, they had plastered across the screen the big lie or something to that effect from the Democrats.
Oh, how weird. Yeah. The book reports. The book reports randomly are generated. We've got an automation system here that fills the commercial breaks with for our nonprofit stations with a book report. And those are just, you know, we've got a giant folder with a couple of hundred of them in there, and it just randomly pulls one every 30 minutes. So it's just luck of the draw.
It was just kind of amazing for me to be reading that big lie from this right-wing TV program. As you were reading the facts, the reality of what actually took place.
Oh, that's amazing.
But I had been watching this program for like an hour or so, and in the process of watching it, they're railing about disinformation, railing about how they're the change party, about they're the grassroots party, and they mentioned draining the swamp. This is all within an hour and a half or so.
Wow.
And claiming that the Democrats are all about power, that they are the and they were railing about paper ballots. They need to bring paper ballots to all ballot booths.
Well, I'm in favor of paper ballots. You know, I'm a big fan of paper ballots, but you know,
yes,
I get it.
About,
Larry, is this what you called about, or did you want to talk about something else? Because we're going to hit a break in a second here.
But the main. Well, let me finish this point. There, all of those things are things that Democrats started talking about. And the Republicans have a history of they don't have an imagination, so they just steal every talking point that Democrats have, and then they use it against the Democrats from there forward.
Yeah.
And again, drain the swamp, that was Nancy Pelosi. Donald Trump stole it and used it so much that the Democrats don't even use it anymore.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing drain the swamp goes back more than 100 years, politically speaking.
I looked it up. Yeah. It actually goes back mostly to the time when the Republicans were doing K Street and doing all that corruption.
And Pelosi went after them. Huh. Larry, thanks for the call. It's great to hear from you. Happy holidays. We'll be right back, 47 minutes past
the
hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Back with more of your calls in just a moment. Stick around. It's the Tom Hartman Program, the place where despair is not an option. And welcome back, Johnny in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Hey, Johnny, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, how's your day going?
So far, so good, Johnny. I hope yours is the same.
It is. Thanks for that comment. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. You got me so excited today, I can't see straight.
Uh-oh.
I've been thinking about that border for many, many years. And I always bring it up. We need to open that border up because that's our future. You know, we started with a Statue of Liberty many years ago, and it's worked out great. We need to open that border up.
I disagree, Johnny. I think that we need to have a rational immigration policy. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, the population of the world is now over 7 billion people. There are so many people now, and so many people from poor countries are trying to crowd into wealthier countries. And, you know, bringing people into a country is a good thing, but you want to do it in a way that doesn't damage the communities that they're going to. You want to do it in a way that doesn't risk the lives of the people themselves by doing it all chaotically the way that it's happening right now.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That's where I was going. I really wanted to kind of get back to the condition of our condition. These borders are tight, and the way you explained it is so well done. The valleys that we go through trying to get this under control. And to me, it seems like all we need to do is build a building out there with the organization to process the people. It's not organized. You've got people all over the place. Well, we need to have a
facility. There's a bunch of buildings, Val.
As a proper way to bring people into the country.
Well, what you're describing exists already, Johnny. I mean, during the Trump administration, it was down to like 10 or 20,000 people a year. But typically, we process several hundred thousand people a year from the southern border who apply for entry into the United States as refugees or as immigrants. And, and a percentage of them, I don't frankly know the percentage, but a percentage of them actually make it through the system. And that's why 98% of the people who come into this country who are given a court date show up for that court date, because that's their one big chance at a green card. And that's what they're trying to get. But we only, we limit that to, I mean, historically, we had immigration from south of the border of about 1 million people a year. And you know it's now probably a third of that. I'd have to look at numbers, but we're doing it. And it is methodical and it is practical. And
one comment on that process, just for 10 seconds. I traveled a lot through my years. I'm 75, and I worked in other countries, and I really established a good communications in Mexico, and brought a lot of people in and out to train them, to communicate with them. And they were educated. They have a pretty good education system over there. Mm-hmm. And they brought a lot of culture to our country. And it happens, if you look at it, I think, if you look back at the cultures that have come into our country and contributed, that's what makes the difference. So I think, I go back to your point, we need to really adjust to the problem that we've got, but we need to set up the fundamentals first. Build a building to where you can process them and agree on how to do it. You know, Biden's got a $1.8 billion proposal to Congress right now, which is a great start,
No, I'm with you. Johnny, I got to run, but thank you for the call. And thanks for watching Free Speech TV. It's 51 minutes past the hour. We will be back in 60 seconds after I... What do I have to do? Read an ad for Cozy Earth here. We'll be right back. Stick around.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581.
Hi friends, Tom Hartman here to remind you that it's your support of our show that keeps us on the air. Without you, there wouldn't be a Tom Hartman program. And now more than ever, it's crucial for you to show your progressive support. And one of the best ways to show your support is to sign up for Tomcast. That's our podcast. It's at TomHartman.com. Never miss another heated debate on healthcare, global climate change, or our economy. Never miss another one again. Plus, labor news, full Monty alerts, conservative alerts, and my personal favorite segment, Geeky Science, each and every week. But wait, there's more! As an added bonus with your Tomcast podcast subscription, you'll also get my Best of the Rest of the News, a daily 3-minute dose of what's going on in the world today that you can't afford to miss. So what are you waiting for? Get over to TomHartmann.com today and sign up for your TomCast now. Do it for yourself, or you can do it for a friend. Go to TomHartmann.com to see just how easy it is. And thank you so much for all of your support.
Hello, I'm Casey Hobbs.
And I'm Shane Mason, and we're the hosts of Nurse Talk Radio.
Here's what we're talking about this week. Ask yourself, who do you trust to make decisions about who should be allowed to practice nursing in your state? Do you trust your state's nursing board? Or would you trust an organization with little oversight and a comfy relationship with corporate sponsors such as Big Pharma? That question is central to our discussion today.
The National Council of the State Boards of Nursing, known as the NCSBN, is a not-for-profit but multi-million dollar private organization promoting itself as the best entity to decide who should be licensed as a registered nurse, no matter where they live or work in the country.
Most nurses know the NCSBN as the entity that administers and collects fees for the nursing exam, but the group also lobbies for other nursing regulatory initiatives and programs that advance the interests of its corporate partners, among which it counts big pharma companies such as Merck and Pfizer and global healthcare conglomerates such as Health Sciences, McKesson, and Johnson & Johnson.
Today we're going to take a look at the statewide licensure compact for registered nurses and find out why what may seem like a good idea.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. You don't know my darling,
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.